welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight. It's late here in the UK, but it's completely fine because we're joined by two fantastic women. One has already been on this podcast a couple of times, Avlev, who's my guest co-host today, and also Brianna from Microsoft. So hello both.
Hello, Andrew.
Thank you for having me. Yeah,
it's all right. You know, as I say, we've done this podcast many times now at different wonderful times to obviously get as many different guests on. So this is just another one in a long line of, you know, late ones that me and John and Sophie have done in the past. So thank you for joining us this evening. Well, afternoon for yourself, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So just want to introduce where you're from and what you do, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So I live in San Francisco, and as you've already mentioned, I work at Microsoft. I started my career a little earlier. In college, knew I really wanted to get into the tech world, and so I tried to get as much exposure to it as possible. So obviously, I had internships with different startups. I started my own consulting firm to do some pro bono work for different companies in the area, just to get a feel for what's out there, what I can do, and what can I learn to really grow my skills as much as possible. And so I studied math with minors in computer science and data science. And I knew going into a startup, if I wanted to be able to understand what's going on, I really wanted to learn more about programming. And so my first job out of college, my job title was an implementation consultant. And essentially what that was, it was like 50% consulting and 50% programming. So I did government work where we would meet with different government workers, understand what they wanted to be put into the program, and then go ahead and program it ourselves. During that time, while I was working there, the pandemic hit. And so the specific software that I worked on was unemployment software for the state of Washington. So by the time the pandemic hit, the United States established the CARES Act, which created new programs for how people could get paid under unemployment. And so I remember one day I was just sitting in the office and my boss said, "Do you like having weekends?" And I was like, "I enjoy my weekends." And he was like, "You're probably never going to have one again for months." And it was the truth. So we worked all day, no days off, for like 3 months straight, 14-hour days, just doing anything we could to build these programs to get people money so that they could put food on their tables and not foreclose on their houses. And so it was a huge project. There was a lot of pressure. I learned a lot from it. And after that, I felt like I needed a break. I felt like I got my dose of coding that I wanted to, probably a little bit more than I wanted because of how much we worked. And then I switched over to a startup. And so that's when I started working at what at the time was Ally.io. And then we got acquired by Microsoft. And now I'm here at Microsoft as a senior program manager.
Awesome. Well, say obviously Avlev is also a Microsoft person, so she's very much wearing the blue badge as well.
A quick introduction. So my name is Alev. I am originally from Turkey. I moved to the UK right after the first lockdown. So I'm rather new. I am living in Derbyshire, Midlands Rock, and I'm a Teams technical specialist. So I cover Microsoft Teams, MTRs, devices, as well as Viva products, our greatest employee experience tool.
I love it.
Me too.
Obviously, you two obviously will have probably good conversations about a lot of Microsoft stuff that I don't even know because obviously I'm not in that little world and that bubble. But so one of the things obviously you mentioned to us, Brianna, is obviously you've very much like got into the world of IT because so you're inspired by your brother. So, I mean, what was life growing up, obviously seeing your brother like go into this world and basically building, you know, the stuff that he did?
Yeah. So my brother and I are super close. He's always been my biggest role model. And he went, and we were originally from the East Coast. So we were both born and raised in New York. And when it came time for him to go to college, he got into Stanford. And obviously, it's in the center of Silicon Valley. And he really introduced me to the tech world. I don't think I had a ton of exposure going before that. And so seeing what he went through, I think he graduated having like 15 internships. He was insane. And then his senior year, he started his own venture capital firm. They did really well. They were in Forbes 30 Under 30, and they're still working on that firm to this day. And so just getting to see everything that he learned from it. And I think honestly, a lot of his excitement just rubbed off on me. And I just wanted to be a part of tech. And it's so always changing, and there's always something new. So I think that's the fun of it too, is that there's just so many opportunities in one industry.
Yeah, obviously, you know, IT is such a big and wonderful thing. I mean, the amount of conversations we've had just on this podcast alone about the different ways people have got into IT, and it's not just obviously people being technical, it's also the non-technical skills as well, because in the day, as soon as you join a company like Microsoft or Fujitsu or any kind of company that basically works in the tech space, you naturally become a person in tech. Even if you're, you know, working in the HR department, you're working for that technical company, you're going to there be exposed to all the different things that they're currently doing in the market space. So it's, you know, no one, I love when people basically say, I'm not technical, I'm not, you know, a woman in tech, but you are if you're, you know, working for a particular organization like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a, you know, something that I try and always push out there as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So let's dive about what you're currently doing right now, because I've come across you first of all for like LinkedIn. You put this about Microsoft Viva. So if you want to talk about what you're doing now at Microsoft as a senior program manager.
Yeah, so I'm on the Viva Goals team. Viva Goals is a part of the new Viva suite. And what our tool does is it's a goal setting software that helps you track, you know, your objectives, key results over quarters, financial years, et cetera. And so my role in particular is very strategy focused. So I've worked on how we can enable our entire organization, specifically the customer success departments, on our tool so that they can have conversations with customers, they know about our tool and what business problems it can solve, and that they have the right content to help leverage in those conversations. So I've worked on some stuff like that. And then a lot of the work I do too is learning about what we call like insights and finding out the different blockers that customers go through, what went well, what didn't went well. And I try to take all of that feedback and use that to recreate our customer journey to continue to improve on it so that we can have the best experience possible. So in a nutshell, a lot of strategy and a lot of scale motions are kind of the things that I work on.
And we have our different departments using as well as engineering. So what I do is I do create demonstrations for customers. And I think it was last week I created one for my customer and I actually got this as a nail art.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's technical sales. So one thing that I would like to ask, because I have faced with this judging by your looks a lot. So you've been claimed as Kim Kardashian.
Well, I'll say like one thing that's, you know, unique to a woman's experience in tech is a lot of the times you're the only woman in the room. And I've definitely gone through that and had some pretty low lows with it and been judged based off of how I dress. So I remember at one job, I used to always dress very professionally and wear heels. And I would take a lot of comments about how I looked and why do I need to dress up so much? And I thought I was just being professional. But as a woman, there's a fine line of different, you know, the way you go about things, the different comments that you can take from men. And so that was just an instance in my work experience where I learned that, you know, maybe I make some changes. Maybe I don't dress up for work and do my best to try to fit in and kind of not have to take some criticism that you can kind of get from your male coworkers sometimes. And it was a growing experience for me. I learned to brush some stuff off and just kind of own who I am at the end of the day. But yeah, I think it's kind of sadly something that a lot of women will go through in their career. And I just like to see it as a growing point.
That's the thing about it, obviously, dress code nowadays. I mean, I literally struggled when I went to a customer a few weeks ago. I was like, well, what do I wear? I've not been to a customer since like pre-COVID. And it's like, you know, what is the normal attire? Because obviously back in the day it was always like shirt, tie, you know, a nice suit. And nowadays it's just like such a relaxed, you know, smart casual, should we say, that people generally wear now is it's not normal. So I mean, so people shouldn't be judged on what you're wearing, because I mean, this was one of the things I did when I walked in the room and saw all my different colleagues. I was like, okay, well, he's wearing a suit, he isn't, he's wearing like a half suit, bro, broken kind of suit with jeans, jacket. And it's like, just made that feel like that slightly a bit uncomfortable, because you know, the world has obviously changed massively so much for men and women, and obviously how we obviously, you know, address people, go to customers. So it's always interesting what people think, you know what I mean? And obviously being judged as a woman about what you're wearing should never be a part of that. But because in the day, as long as you're the right person for the job, the right person that's basically knows that knowledge, and people can look at you and people just instantly, you know, respect what you're saying, that's the biggest thing. So with some of the like the challenges is that you had, I mean, what were they, being obviously the only woman in the room?
Yeah, I would say a lot of the times I would be immediately judged based off of how I looked or how I dressed. And I definitely faced instances where people assumed that I wasn't smart or that my opinion didn't really matter. And in the beginning, especially being that it was my first job out of college, I didn't really know how to handle some of the comments and the derogatory marks that were made in my way. Like I said, I really used it as a growing point. It's not something that I look back at and still get upset about. But I've learned what I think most importantly is how to stop those situations immediately going forward. And in the beginning, it was one or two marks, like comments here and there. And then eventually it kind of just snowballed where, you know, they were calling me Kim instead of by my name because they thought it was funny. But to me, it was, you know, it wasn't meant in a kind way. It was meant in, you know, to make fun of me, being the only woman in the office. And so I've just kind of learned how to immediately stop that. And to be honest, I've never had a bad experience with anything like that at Microsoft. It's an extremely inclusive environment. And so I'm just really grateful for where I work today and to have such an amazing culture.
I mean, obviously, Avliff could probably, you know, echo that from obviously the times I've spoke to her. Is obviously everyone that I've ever encountered from Microsoft, I've spoken very highly of it. I know, you know, people in the UK space that have been there for best part, you know, like 20, 30 years, because they enjoy it so much. And one of the women actually I deal with quite a lot, I'm trying to drag her onto this podcast, because she's like been up in the team Skype for business sector for such a long time. I know she's always busy, but I'm trying to get her on the podcast. I'll say her name. I'm going to force her to come on this podcast, Tina Shepherd. She will come on here at some point. But yeah, you know, every time I speak to anyone from Microsoft, they say they always talk how highly and positive the business is and all the changes they do. I mean, everything Microsoft generally do put into the environment, into the big wide world, is just the right message. It's never anything negative. I mean, obviously, we've had the Microsoft layoff recently, which obviously, you know, is absolutely a bad thing. It's affecting people, you know, their home lives, the way they earn. But everyone that I've seen from like a LinkedIn perspective that I basically spoke about it, of all the companies speak highly about Microsoft and their roles, and they've been ever so grateful for having that time at Microsoft as well.
And it's really amazing because so I would say about at a minimum if 50%, if not more, of my team is all female. And so it's really incredible to get to see all of these really strong women being in incredible positions in a tech company. And I'm inspired by it every single day. And I just really appreciate having the diverse opinions amongst everybody. And it's just really, like we said already, it's an amazing work environment to be in.
It's been more than 8 years now I'm working for Microsoft. I was the only woman most of the time. I had like architects and consultants. I work 7 years in what was called Microsoft Consulting Services. Now it's been called Industry Solutions Delivery. And I was working in a project with Barclays right before I moved to my new role. And it was there. We were in a meeting just talking about how we can improve their employee experience. Five women. And I was like, this is it. Yes, we needed diversity, but we had some male colleagues couldn't join to that call. But the seeing that change is amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Andrew, get in Microsoft, don't worry.
So obviously, what, I mean, I've heard obviously a lot of negative, like, from some of the women that I've spoken to, either on this podcast or they've been on my panel when I've done public speaking. I mean, one of the ones that always stands out is a woman called Nikki Chappell. She's a Microsoft MVP. She spoke about her story when she went into a room and the males in the room basically thought she was just there to basically provide tea and was very derogative towards her. It's, you know, it's nice to know that not everyone has that experience, but it's also not nice knowing people are having that experience as well. Because I've never, I mean, in my working career, which is now what, 20 years in IT, I've never ever seen that or experienced that. You know, I mean, it's obviously something that, obviously, if I did see it now, it's something I'd literally stomp out immediately because it shouldn't happen. And obviously, as an advocate now, as I am now for women in tech, you know, I want to see, you know, more women getting involved in the community, get more involved in just basically being a part of this, you know, big wide world that we're a part of. So, yeah.
But within Microsoft, you have different part of the organizations in different regions. So what I was experiencing in Microsoft, Middle East and Africa is literally 180 degrees different what I'm experiencing in the UK, because the culture is different. So I was accepting some of my colleagues who are not handshaking with me because of the religious limitations and restrictions. And some of my Microsoft US people, they were like, you need to let HR know. I was like, why? I can't, because I know how they've been raised. And some of my woman colleagues, they were being told not to go to a specific customer because they are women.
she's bad. That shouldn't happen at all. End of the day, I say, you're the right person. You should be going and speaking. But, you know, it's the horrible world that we live in at times. So I've got questions for you then. Obviously, the main thing about this podcast is obviously talking about women and basically talking about, you know, the different things that happen in the community and what we can all do to help drive, you know, better awareness. And obviously, I know that you mentioned you tried to do a session for Girls That Code, but obviously that got cancelled because of COVID. So I want to tell us a little bit about the Girls That Code over in the United States.
Yeah, so it is a summer program where different girls in kind of underprivileged communities can come and learn to code. It's like a 2-week course during the summer that they can go and take. And it's something that I was really passionate about and still really care about to this day. And so I was supposed to run one of those programs back, and it was going to be the summer of 2020. But obviously, because of COVID, it got canceled. But, I continue to believe that just giving women as much education and opportunities as possible is really the best way forward, because we learn through our experiences, we learn from our successes, and we learn from our failures. And so just by continuing to put yourself out there, not being afraid of being challenged. I know, like I said, I've gone through it. Most women have gone through it. And as long as you just use that as an opportunity to understand what went wrong and grow from it, and seeing that, you know, you're not always being challenged because you're a woman, but a lot of the times people are just challenging you to learn more, to dig deeper, to play devil's advocate. And so I always just tell everybody to just, you know, be who you are at the end of the day, be strong, and use everything as a stepping stone in your career.
Yeah, I mean, programs like that are so important because, you know, there's lots of different ones that people have spoke about in this podcast, and it's good to know and be aware of all these different things that are available, because a lot of the time people are unaware. I mean, I know full well there's a global women conference that's coming up because I'm speaking at it, but I only came across that by accident. I didn't literally see it advertised, you know, quite well over LinkedIn. I think I literally saw someone like something. I went, oh, that'd be interesting to, you know, go and get involved in. So that's why I'd submit the session, and thankfully I got picked, and I'll be talking about being a male ally for that whole event. But it's not, there is so many different things that basically happen within the globe, but obviously different things that people are doing to help grow women in tech and support diversity, and you know, everyone that's having, you know, coming from a different background, but there's no like central source to basically like share that information out. And I think that's something someone hopefully listening to this podcast will do in the future. There you go. And if they do it, please give me some like royalties out of it. But no, there needs to be something there, because you know, it's hard to find where to go, especially like mentorship as well. I mean, I've tried many times on this podcast to try and build something up, but it's hard to get people to commit and then drive that forward as well. I mean, I would love to like, you know, build a platform that has, you know, has a lot of the women that have been on this podcast who are then going to mentor the next generation that's coming through. As I always say, like the one thing for me about this is, if I can help one person, then doing all these millions of hours that I've basically put into this podcast, doing the editing, it's worth it, because that way I know the message has been shared.
And you're doing an incredible job.
I try.
Within 6 weeks, it will become available. But one thing that you inspired me, I have Chris Beeler, one of my technical specialist colleague in the UK. So we are trying to create our own podcast. Maybe I can have you too.
It's easy. It really is. Ain't that difficult to make a podcast? Just find a few people. Just do what I do. It's literally, that person, the woman in tech, I'll just message her and do you want to fancy me on this? That's generally how it happens. Nearly every single guest, apart from the ones that I've known from the community, just, you know, I'll just throw myself out there. This, because it's important to share people's stories, because everyone's different. You know, I've had that many different stories on this podcast that, you know, have resonated with me, that have basically helped me be a better person within my role within Fujitsu, supporting my female colleagues. So, you know, it's good to share and hear people's, you know, backstories.
I have one question for Brianna. What was the best moment that you've experienced working for Microsoft?
Oh gosh, honestly, I get a lot of great moments all the time. Because one thing I love about Microsoft is there's always something new to learn. And so the number of times I'll work on a project, and to me, I always see it as a puzzle. In the beginning, it's a million little pieces and I just don't even know where to start. But once you put it together, for me, that's always a really big aha moment. But looking back, I'm trying to think if there's one in particular. One program that really stands out to me is I managed our private preview and early adopter programs. And so that was when we were still shifting over from the Ally tool and creating Viva goals. And we were looking for some introductory customers to come in, give us feedback, and be the first people into our new tool. And it was, there's a lot of visibility on this project. There was a lot writing on it, because our product team needed to know how the customers were doing. And we were trying to figure out how to do the Microsoft way of doing things. We were so used to being a startup, and now we have to plug into this massive company and figure out how they go about working with customers. So managing that was a really big task at the time. There were so many moving parts, and I would say a big part of my job too was just stakeholder readouts, like letting our executive leadership team know where we're at, know where we're falling short and what we're learning. And so that actually was an extremely successful program. We were looking to have like 15 to 20 customers in it, and I think we ended with about 35. So we went above our goals. We achieved a lot. We got the product launched on time. And so that was really a moment for me where everything came full circle. And it was the first time that our product was readily available to the public as a Microsoft product. So it was really great to have been there during the startup times, and now to say our product is a Microsoft tool and all these incredible customers are using it. So that was really a moment that I think I'm probably really proud of.
That's awesome. So being a part of the big corporate Microsoft world, spinning wheels, who inspires you within the business?
Who inspires me?
Yeah, who inspires you with the Microsoft business itself? Because I know there's a lot of brilliant, you know, women within the business from all different varying backgrounds. So who inspires you?
Like I said earlier, I work with so many incredible women, and
so you can list them all out, and then I'll write them all down, and I'll go to approach them.
Yeah, I mean, Swetha is, you know, our boss, and she is an incredible source of knowledge, and she is just incredibly nurturing and challenging at the same time, which I think is such an incredible mixture in somebody. I feel incredibly supported by her at all times, but she continues to push me. Liz Pierce is an insane resource in the Microsoft world. She knows everybody and anybody, and she's like such a critical thinker, which I aspire to be like. And gosh, Jenny Lindenstein, my boss, Bailey Woods, they give me so many opportunities, and they are just incredible resources in general. And so the list goes on and on, but that's the one thing I love about my job is when you work at Microsoft, everybody is there because everybody is a similar type of worker in the sense that they don't settle for anything less than their best. And so I'm probably missing a million people, but it's an incredible team to be on.
I mean, that's the feeling I always get when, I mean, I've been to Redmond when I was an MVP coming over for the MVP summit, which obviously happened this week. So when this podcast goes out, it happened weeks ago. But, you know, when I was on campus, you could just see there's such a community about the business because there's like running clubs at ridiculous times in the morning. I even saw someone on LinkedIn going, oh, yeah, all the MVPs were doing this running club. It was like, I would not be there doing that. No chance. I'll probably be still hungover or something like that. But it's nice to see a business and how they look after their staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we do so many things internally, too, to get to know each other better and to help each other grow. My incredible colleague Akshat has been running different panels to just learn about each other. There was a women in tech panel he ran. He's running a parents in tech panel, and just to really start to learn from everybody's experiences and understand their background, what they're going through, and just kind of build that empathy from your team. And so I see it from not just leadership. It's not just these massive programs that we run that you feel like I have to go to because it's like an HR thing that I have to attend, but it happens all amongst our teams and throughout. It's like really throughout the entire culture of the company, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. So go on, Avila, if you want to say something. Chomping there at the background there.
The technical community. So one community which was really helpful during you know, there is an earthquake happened in Turkey and Syria. So I just let everyone know in Technical Woman at Microsoft, and everybody was so caring. They were supporting, donating money. And also there are some diversity inclusion groups like Embrace. So you can mentor someone if they have authentic background and if they're in university. So there are some things that you can do. And if you want to know more, just let me know, ping me.
I love it, yeah.
So I think we should talk about a lot of the current. So what's the future kind of hold for yourself? What do you want to aspire to be? Do you want to be the next Satya Nadella, sit at the top of Microsoft, or, you know?
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about this a lot recently. And what's incredible about where we work is there's just any type of job, any type of role you want to have, you can find it here. And so I've never really aspired to have a certain title or to be like a certain person, but I just really want to have a really broad horizon of experience and kind of leverage that. And so when I look at my career, I like to see like, what are things that I've done and what are areas I've never touched and never learned? And those are the things that I think I continue to chase. Because kind of like I said earlier, with some of the people that inspire me, like Liz Pierce is somebody on our team who's had an incredibly broad horizon of different experiences. And then when you talk to her, when she works on projects and she thinks about strategies, she can think of it from so many different angles that it really comes, when we come to the solution, it brings everything together and ties all the loose ends up. And so I think as I think about my career, it's just what are new areas that I've never done? I've done the programming, I've done the strategy aspect. I've been shadowing the product team a little bit. I try to learn about what they do. And so Anna Pope lets me come into her meeting, sit in and learn what it'd be like to be a product manager. And so I think I just kind of think about it that way. Like, what are things I don't know and how can I learn about them, even if it's not the role I'm in right now? So I just try to take those opportunities. And luckily, my colleagues love to help everybody to learn more and bring you into the loop as much as possible.
So you see yourself staying there quite some time because obviously all the opportunities and different doors and avenues that are basically available?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I always thought when I went into the startup world that I'd be kind of like a startup hopper and go from startup to startup and try new things. And that's kind of the way that this generation works, is like 1 or 2 years here and a few years here. But at Microsoft, there's just so many products, so many tools. If you even want to go to LinkedIn, it's all under the same company. And so you just get such a broad range of opportunities that I don't know if I'll leave anytime soon. So, yeah.
So people say, if you want to work in Microsoft, it might take a while to get in. But once you're in, you're in. Because yeah. You can just move both horizontally and vertically. So you can basically do anything.
Yeah. Exactly. I have tried in the past to get in, but you know, you don't want me. That's the thing. Yeah. What can I do? I can always keep trying. But then that's the thing. I spoke about it a couple of times. Like, if I get in, I don't know what I'd do. So, because obviously you said there's so many like roles within Microsoft and so many different things that people can do. But I just don't know where I'd basically fit in. So I'm happy just doing what I'm doing, being an M365 architect, a bit hands-on now and then, writing documents, that suits me down to the ground.
Hey, it's still an extremely important role. So I know I'm always thankful for all the work that you guys do with MVPs and all of that. So it's a really big part of being a part of Microsoft and us being successful.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, when people look at MVPs, I think, you know, they are the most technical people. That's not always the case. It's basically they're there as an extension to Microsoft because we're there to basically, you know, demonstrate and show the products that basically you're releasing. And obviously Viva Goals being another example, I can see many more people being involved in that, releasing new blog posts or YouTube videos, going into it, just to basically, you know, spread awareness. I will at some point want to find some time to actually get my head down, get more into V because I need to, but it's difficult. I need to start using that MCT badge up there and start doing some more courses internally.
Andrew, in the Copilot integration, everything is going to be created and suggested to you.
Make my life a lot easier. I mean, I would love, you know, Copilot to come in and start writing documents for me. Yes, I would like you to go and do this particular document, this migration, and elsewhere. Yeah, that took me 5 days. No, it took me 5 minutes to do, but I'll still charge you 5 days for it, you know. That'd be cool.
And what are you guys thinking about generative AI? There are too many different opinions about this, and people are actually... So I am started to using it, and it's giving me more and more time, and I'm feeling more productive.
I haven't tried it, and I think I probably should.
I know I've seen it a little here and there. Obviously, we have been experimenting with Copilot a lot. And at first, I think everybody kind of has a bit of a hesitancy when it comes to it. But once I've seen it, like even some of the integrations of it into Teams, and it can summarize your notes for you, and I think it just makes my life a lot more efficient, and I don't have to go back and watch an entire recording, and I can read the AI summary of everything, the key takeaways. So I've been really impressed with it, and I've been excited to see it kind of infiltrate the different products that we have as well, and just watch how productivity grows over time, because I think that's really the main point, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I can say it's literally touching nearly everything. And that's the thing about Microsoft technologies. It literally invades your life and invades the business place of everything that you do. I mean, you can't get away from it. I mean, I use like Microsoft to do for like tracking things I want to do in the house. Like, yeah, I haven't done that, so I'll go and cross that off. And, you know, it's just, you can't get away from Microsoft technologies whatsoever. It's always going to be there. It's just basically grown so much, especially because of COVID as well. But the way Teams just took off and, you know, all the weird and wonderful things now, you know, you can get in Teams. I mean, I know in my tenant, I've got the whole mesh AI virtual thing, and it's like, I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, it's great, but it's not perfect. You know what I mean? Obviously, I've got my little thing here at the bottom here because I'm from Teams, you know, a little. But now, I mean, as I say, I'm all in on Microsoft stuff and always have been, because, you know, it's given me a lot from obviously a career path and where I want to basically, you know, push myself, and obviously sharing that as well with other people. So, yeah, I will get that it's one day. I will get the blue badge. There you go, change it all off. But now, so I enjoy, you know, like learning, especially, you know, it's important to, you know, every day is a school day. No matter if you're learning about, obviously, the products or you're learning about people, you know, always try and learn something at least once a day. Mm-hmm. I say.
Never stop learning. Such as
no, this. never stop learning. Never stop learning at all.
That's my question. So,
go on.
I'm here to make you look cool, not us.
No, I'm here to obviously listen to people's stories, you know. You tell me all about everything that you want to do in life and where you see yourself. That's what I want to share with people. So we spoke about the future, Brianna. Is there anything else, like personal goals you want to achieve in that time as well?
Like outside of work or just in general?
Just in general, like, you know, we're here to learn about you, so.
Is your own OKRs?
What are my OKRs?
This is a spotlight on you.
Oh gosh. Yeah, well, obviously, I love to try different things in my career, and I've kind of dabbled in angel investing and done different sides of tech. So those are other things outside of my everyday job at Microsoft that I really like to explore and spend some time in and learn about a little bit. Outside of that, I'm an avid CrossFitter, so I'm going to start competing soon, and that's something that I'm really passionate about. I'm a fitness coach on the side, so as well as, you know, taking care of work, I'm really big into taking care of mental and physical health. So it's something that I always try to grow and to lean into. But yeah, I think when it comes to where I want to go, I think especially living in San Francisco, the world's kind of my oyster into learning about new technologies and watching the future grow. And so I think I'll continue to do some investments on the side. I think it's really fun to watch them and see where they go and be successful. But yeah, I think that's kind of what I think about for the future.
One thing I will say, nearly every person I speak to Microsoft, I've always got a side hustle doing something. Donna Sarkar's there doing a clothing range. Iona Tansy, based in the UK, she's doing shoes. So if anyone ever wants like some clothing and some shoes, I can hook you up. I'll put you in touch with the right people. I know Mi Rodriguez was doing some stuff with mental health and, you know, vitamins, all kinds of stuff there. So, you know, people at Microsoft seem to have a lot of time. So I want to think, you know, everything that's going on, all these products, I look at the roadmap, oh, there's all this new stuff coming in. How, like, you know, people, when people are doing all this side stuff as well, you know what I mean? I have time to all do that, the actual work.
Yeah. I think it's just a group of people that are really passionate about everything they do, right? I think that's the kind of beauty of Microsoft, is everybody that comes in has a lot of energy around tons of things in their lives, not just their job. And I think that's what makes it exciting to work with all these people, is you do find out stuff like that. Or I know one of my colleagues is running like all these different marathons all over the world. So it's fun to hear about that. And everybody has all these different passions, which I think adds to the fun of coming to work and just learning about your coworkers and what they're doing in their free time too.
I have a theory. So this Microsoft Copilot and all this AI stuff, you've had it for a long time in the background. But if you've been using it for so long, your whole job's just automated. So then you have all this free time to just do all this other side hustle stuff. That's what I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Newbing is amazing. It actually told me to please respect my boundaries. I was like, okay, I need to learn from you because I'm terrible setting my boundaries.
It's tough.
Awesome. Well, I think we're coming close to our normal runtime. So what I want to do is obviously, you know, thank you for obviously joining us today. It's always nice to meet new people, as I say, in every episode, and to basically share your story. Mm-hmm. So I thought what I'm going to do, I'm going to throw one last thing out there. So what advice would you give to a new woman that's coming into tech What's your final words?
Gosh, that's a good question. I got to think about that.
I love interview questions. They're brilliant. I'm going to start writing them down. I have a whole list for here. I think I can throw up in the future.
I think.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share, and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFTSpotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.